Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, always joined by my phenomenal co-host, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. And it is Monday already. It's Mind Shifting Monday. We're always excited to be here, excited about another mind shifting conversation and a dynamic speaker and author and guest that will be joining us tonight. For those of you that are new to Mind Shift Talk Radio, I want to say welcome. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you listening online, you can also call in tonight if there's any questions, any comments. Feel free to reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, the replay will be available of this show. After the show, you'll be able to find that at mindshifttalkradio.com. Kudos to all of you that are already our friends on Facebook. If you are not our friend, we encourage you to do that. Go to facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, you can go ahead and hit the follow link in Blog Talk. And that way you're connected to us. You're here. You're able to get the information for the shows every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Mindshift Talk Radio is the show for you, for normal people like you and I that are looking to grow and reach new levels and new heights of success in every area of your life. So whether you're looking to grow personally, professionally, financially, maybe you just need some tips and some information on your relationships, whatever it may be, whatever it is that you need, we have it here at Mindshift Talk Radio. So kudos to all of you for being so diligent and committed to your personal growth and development. So without any further ado, I am going to bring my co-host on. I've already told you who she is, and I'm always excited to have her here by my side. I call her my partner in success and my partner in crime. Happy Mindshift Monday, Sister Bones. And I can't hear her. So, and we're not going to start this way.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now. I thought it was something going on with the switchboard again. Hey, Mamacita.
Hi, happy Mind Shift Monday to you.
Happy Mind Shift Monday to you. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Has it been a great Monday for you?
Yes, it has. It's been an eventful Monday. You know, it started off kind of slow. I'll say it started off kind of slow. It was great. It was a great Monday. I took me time to relax this morning, and then things picked up towards the end of the day. Last minute, found out about a school project that my son has to turn in tomorrow. So then I went into crazy mommy mode, running around trying to get supplies for arts and crafts and to put the project together. But we pulled it through, we made it, and he even did his little presentation in front of me, so he's going to knock it out the park tomorrow. So, all is well. Normal Monday. Another day in the life. Another day in the life. Eventful to say the least, but it was the least, but it was all good. So, yeah. How about your Monday? How's it going?
It went. It's gone. It went by really quickly. I'm surprised how fast it went by, but I am living the dream.
That's right. That's right. Now, for those of you that are new to the show, or maybe you missed the show last week, want to just kind of catch you up to speed before we go into tonight's guest. But last week, we had a lot of fun on the show. We haven't done one of these in a while, so we decided to have a roundtable discussion. And we decided to have our panel come on. We had two males and two females, and all of them, you know, it was a good mix, I think, between the crew that we had on. And we talked about relationships. And so the title of last week's show was Heartbreak Hotel, the Male versus Female Perspective. So I had a ball listening to them. I don't know about you, sis. I learned some things. I cracked up a lot.
It was fun and funny.
Right, right. And you know, initially we were going to start and really just talk about the whole heartbreak piece, and we started there, but then we just went so many different places. And the chat room was fired up. People were sharing and you know, making confessions in the chat room. People were, you know, just telling their stories, and people called in. So it was a great show, full of energy. Like I said, our panel was phenomenal. Had a lot of fun with them. They were totally transparent, and everyone agreed to disagree. We didn't have any arguments. No bottles were thrown. Everything was good, right?
Right. Loved it.
So I said all that to say, if you missed last week's show, make sure that you go online and check it out. It is available for you at mindshifttalkradio.com. You can go ahead and click on archives, and there you'll be able to get the information for not only last week's show, but also previous week's shows as well. And we encourage you guys to share it with friends and family members. We know it's football season. We know Mondays are very busy for most people. And so many of you guys have not been able to listen to the live shows, but we're looking at the numbers, the downloads, and, I mean, the replays has just been through the roof. So we thank you guys for going back. You may not be able to catch us live, but you guys are definitely going back and checking out replays and sharing those. So we thank you guys for doing that. We encourage you to continue to do that. You know, sometimes you listen to the show, and you may not necessarily hear something for you, but you hear something for someone else. And sometimes we have friends and family members going through certain things, and they may not necessarily be comfortable sharing their experiences or really telling you how they feel about certain things. And you may not necessarily be comfortable with starting those conversations and initiating the conversations. I think the show is a great way to be able to kind of melt the ice and just have people listen to the show. We do talk about some very serious things, but also we talk about some light things. And even when we do talk about some serious things, you know, we try to lighten it up a little bit. We try to soften the blow somewhat. And a relationship show, I mean, everyone can relate to a relationship topic. You know, I think there's always something there for everyone. So, again, go back, check out the replay, Mind Shift Talk Radio for last week, Heartbreak Hotel. So, sis, totally different show this week. And we have a phenomenal guest here with us that's been here before, so he's certainly not a stranger to Mind Shift Talk Radio. And I'm excited about him being here tonight.
And I...
So for those of you that may have missed him, he was on here before, I think back in September. We were blessed by the phenomenal best-selling author, Mr. Bob Berg. And so when Mr. Berg was here last time, he shared his dynamic book called The Go-Giver, and he talked about some laws and some principles in his book, and it was just a great conversation. You know, some people probably thought, okay, well, I haven't read the book. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up. But he just does an amazing job at really summarizing the nuggets of his book. So whether you've read the book or not, he was able to provide great value. And he shared this information in an easy-to-understand format. And sometimes it gets challenging when you don't read a book. Like I said, you get kind of lost in the mix and lost in the shuffle. But he was just absolutely amazing. And so we were so honored and excited to be able to get him back on the show for part two. So tonight we're going to be joined by Mr. Bob Berg, and he's going to share his message, The Go-Giver. So we said this is part two. And he talks about shifting your focus from getting to giving, which is a great way to start the year off with a new mind shift, with a new mindset, basically. And he talks about how not only this affects you in your financial area of your life, but overall in every area of your life. And so we want to go ahead and introduce him to you, Mr. Bob Berg. Bob, welcome back to Mind Shift Talk Radio.
Stacy and Juanita, it's great to be back with you, Ann. Always love talking to the two of you.
We had so much fun with you the last time you were here.
We did. Have you had a great 2013 so far?
It has been amazing, to say the least. Do you hear me? It has just been so much going on, but it's been great. I tell you, I couldn't see all this good stuff coming, you know, coming going into 2012, but it's just kind of hit me like a whirlwind, but it's awesome. How's your new year been?
It's been great, thanks. Just got back from speaking in Cancun, Mexico for a leadership organization, and then was up in the Pacific Northwest in Spokane, Washington, some of the greatest people in the world there as well. So, you know, just have had a great time now back in town for a couple of weeks. and enjoying.
Look at you, Cancun. Did you get some tanning there?
Some what?
Did you get some time to tan?
I didn't, but I did eat a lot of guacamole.
Okay.
Yeah, and I spoke for a leadership organization for Scentsy, which makes wickless candles and warmers, and they had a bunch of about 650 of their top leaders there, and they have just a terrific organization. And then then I went up to Chile, Spokane, but as chilly as the air was, the people are much warmer than the air, so that made it worthwhile up there, and had a super time there.
Awesome. What did you talk about in Spokane?
At Spokane, it was Endless Referrals, the Go Giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
And we do those sometimes, what we call city partner programs, where we have someone locally sort of take it upon themselves to put together the event, and they bring me in and they get sponsors, and hey, it's a lot of fun. Whereas the first one was a corporate event. But, both kind of have their own personalities to it, and each one's a lot of fun.
And I'm sure you're very flexible. I mean, you were able to go.
You
got to
be flexible so you don't get bent out of shape.
Right. Well, you did a great job fitting in with us. I mean, for you to be able to handle the two of us, I mean, that says a lot.
Well, that's just fun. You guys are a delight. That's fun.
Awesome. Well, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sist of Big Bones Warren. And tonight we're joined by the dynamic speaker and author, Mr. Bob Berg. And he's going to share his message, The Go-Giver, and we're going into part two. So for those of you that may have missed part one a few months ago, it's available to you. So if you want to get caught up, go back to mindshifttalkradio.com. We had thousands of downloads of that show. So definitely go back, take advantage of it, and get caught up, because tonight we're going into part two. So, Bob, I know the time flew by the last time you were here, so we don't want to take too much time chatting, because we could sit here and just chat with you all night. We're going to go ahead and get started with talking about your book, talking about The Go-Giver. Can we do that now?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's see. Now, sis, or if you're there, feel free to cut me off, because I get excited, and we had Bob here and I was kind of chatting it up the last time. So if there's anything that you need to say right now, go ahead and speak your piece.
Anything that I need to say right now?
No, just a big one.
Or Juanita.
I know how to use phone. How about that? I don't want to cut into Bob's time yet, but I'm looking forward
to it. You can do whatever you want.
I will have plenty of questions coming up. Don't you worry.
That's right. If I remember correctly, last time she had all of a sudden had a bunch of questions near the end.
Yes, she did.
Okay, I'm going to have to be prepared for that then, Juanita.
Okay.
But you can also ask them whatever you want.
Cool. We're going to go ahead and get started. So, Bob, in your book, you discuss value as law number one. So when we're talking about law number one, how does one actually and specifically communicate value to their prospects and their customers other than simply explaining the benefits of their product or service?
Yeah, well, that is a great question, because value and the law of value is really the foundational principle of all the five laws. I mean, all the five laws need to be used together in conjunction. The five laws being value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. Value is simply the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user. And we know that for someone to want to purchase your product or service, they must feel they're going to get more in value than what they pay. That's why in a free market-based economy, the free exchange is always between two people who each have something that the other person wants more than what they have now. In other words, if you have a widget that you're selling, you're desiring to exchange that widget by selling it to the other person in exchange for their money for the widget. And what they want is they want the widget more than they want the money. So both parties come away much better off after the transaction than they were before. That's the essence of a free market, because it's a voluntary exchange, value for value. One form of the value is in terms of a product or service. The other form of the value is currency or money. So the question is, when you ask, which is great, how do you communicate that value? See, it's not enough just to have great value in your product or service and in everything that you offer. You have to be able to communicate it as well. And so, you know, John David Mann, my awesome co-author of The Go-Giver, and Go Givers Sell More, we kind of, you know, look at value, what we call elements of value, because value can be provided or given, communicated in many different ways, probably thousands of ways, but it tends to manifest itself in one or more, five different areas. That's what we call the elements of value, and they are excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And to the degree that you can communicate these within the presentation or at one time or another, that's the degree that that person's going to understand and embrace that value. So would you like me to go through all five of those elements quickly and just kind of give an example?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, you know, with excellence, I mean, let's face it, there's nothing like doing what you do well. when you see your work as simply exchanging hours for dollars, or you see your product as, you know, just exchanging a product for money, it's easy to slip into that mindset of doing it just well enough to get by. Now, when you see your work or your product or service as creating value for another human being, something shifts. You know, there's that old story about the bricklayer, who, when approached and asked what he's doing, it says he's laying bricks. But the other bricklayer is asked what he's doing, and he responds by saying he's building a magnificent cathedral. You know, it's two different looks, right, of what you're doing. And you know the one who feels he's part of something bigger, that's the one who's providing more value. There's an old story of two people who went to work for the railroad company on the exact same day. 25 years later, one was a foreman, and the other was president of the railroad. The reason why? Because one went to work for $5 an hour, and the other went to work to help build a railroad. So it's two different ways of bringing value to a person, to a context, or to a situation. So how do you display excellence? You know, how do you see? And I don't know, because different people, depending upon what they do, they display excellence in different ways. How do you manage your correspondence? How do you dress? How do you pronounce people's names? Do you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it? Do you return phone calls? You know, there's a great example, as far as I'm concerned, of a company that provides great value system-wide, and that's the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain. When you go to a Ritz-Carlton and you are approached, or you walk by a guest contact employee, they will never say, "Hi, hey," or "How you doing?" It'll always be "Good morning," "Good afternoon," or "Good evening," depending upon the time of day. When you ask them how to get somewhere, they won't stop and point. They'll actually escort you there. And then when you say thank you, they won't say "No problem." They won't even say "You're welcome." They'll say "My pleasure." And they mean it. Now, here's the funny thing. Any other hotel in the country, from the biggest name brands to the smallest little inns, could do the same thing. The Marriott could do it. The Hyatt could do it. The Westin could do it. And some of them do, but it's not necessarily systemized. They don't all do it. Super 8 hotels could do it. Motel 6, where Tom Baudette, leaves the lights on for you, they could do it. And so could Dave and Mary of Dave and Mary Stop and Stay Inn. But they don't do it, at least not consistently. Now, somebody might say, "Well, okay, Bob, you know, Dave and Mary Stop and Stay Inn." They could say, "Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and my pleasure till the cows come home." They're not going to take market share away from the Ritz-Carlton. No, of course they won't. But what they will do is they will capture a much bigger share of their intended demographic. And they'll probably take some market share away from the local Motel 6 and the Super 8. So, you know, we can do that. I whenever I speak to at schools, so I love when I'm in a city speaking for a corporation or doing a public program, and somebody from a local high school asks me to speak to the sophomores, juniors, seniors on entrepreneurship. I love doing that, and I always use this example. And you know what I say to them? I say, I don't care if you have your own job detailing, you know, your own business detailing cars, mowing lawns, or if you work in a pizza restaurant, you can do that same thing. Get in the habit when you meet people or approach people. It's not how you doing, it's good morning or good afternoon. Mm-hmm. When someone thanks you, it's my pleasure, not no problem. It's not calling people older than you by their first name or bud, like you see so often. It's saying sir or ma'am or their, you know, Mr. or Ms. in their last names. It's when you apply for a job, it's sending a handwritten thank you note the next day to the person who interviewed you. So all these things are excellence. All these ways are, these things are simply ways of communicating your value, your excellence to someone else. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
And that's just excellence. We've still got several more if you want to hear them. But but you know, those are just some of the ways in which we can do it that you know, make a lot of sense and are really very effective.
I like that. And I mean, you break it down and it seems so simple, but it's something that we don't even really think about. When you talked about just the small things like saying good morning versus hey, how you doing, and many times we say, hey, how are you, we don't even pause to hear the person's response. We just keep walking.
Well, that's very true. Those are questions that are actually non-questions because we ask them not really expecting or even wanting an answer. And, you know, I was the original, how you doing? You know, I mean, I had to train myself to get out of that habit. And you'll never hear me say that now. It's always good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or even hi or hello, but depending upon what's, you know, the context. But or, you know, saying my pleasure. It's just what I do now because I train myself to do it. And so that's the key. If you know there's something that's going to make you a more effective person, and this does not take away from your authenticity. It builds upon your authenticity and helps you become a better, more effective, authentic person.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, we have excellence down with our next piece.
Well, and I'll go quickly through these. You go, you know, consistency. I mean, let's face it, the world is full of uncertainty. It's an inconsistent world. People say one thing, they do another, or they do something a couple times, then they don't do it. So when people know they can always count on you to deliver the same quality of experience, no matter what, you inspire confidence, you inspire trust. When you combine both excellence and consistency, you create truly exceptional value. Then we go to attention. And I think of my travel agent, Jim. Now, travel, when you think of it, a travel agent is in the most commodity-based business there is. In fact, not only is there really nothing that Jim can't do for me, my travel agent Jim, not only is there not anything he can't do for me that any other of his competitors can't, with the internet, there's nothing Jim can't do for me that I can't do for myself. But because of the phenomenal value he provides me through his attention to detail, and, you know, I fly a lot. It's a big part of my life. So the easier he can make it for me, the more valuable his service is to me. He's learned my preferences. He gets me the flights I want. He knows what times I want. He knows the seats I want. He tries to save me the most money, even though our clients pay for the airfare. I believe in trying to get my clients the best price, and he knows that's of high value to me. He knows my seating preferences and in what order. He'll call to tell me, you know, where I'm sitting and if this is okay. He calls the airline to make sure everything's running on schedule. He keeps me up to date. Before I leave, there's always an email wishing me a good trip and reminding me of his cell phone number in case of an emergency. Mm-hmm. And the only two times in years of using his services, the only two times I've ever needed it, he's been there for me. I return from the trip. There's always an email waiting for me, welcoming me home, hoping I had a good trip, and what else could he do to make it better? You know, so here's a guy who is totally taking himself from being a commodity to being a valued resource. And you know, I know many other speakers who fly as much, if not more, than I do. And you know, I've referred a lot of business to him, and they love him. So,
definitely.
Yeah. And then,
that's,
you know, the
awesome.
Next one, I'm sorry?
No, I'm saying that's awesome, just making yourself stand out from the rest.
Exactly. And I think that's such a great lesson because we can all find a way to do that. And that's the key. It doesn't always seem intuitive, but there's always a way to be that. And that's why, you know, people say to me, well, Bob, you know, I have a great service or product, but, you know, it's a commodity. I mean, all my competitors have the same thing. Well, that's fine. And I understand that. And that's true a lot of times. And so in that case, you have got to be that extra value. You've got to find, it's not a matter of lowering your price. It's a, anyone can do that. And, you know, selling on low price, unless you're a Walmart, and most of us are not Walmart, you know, selling on price is a losing proposition. When you sell on price, you're a commodity. When you sell on value, you're a trusted resource. And to sell on value, you've got to be able to communicate that value. First, you've got to understand your value.
Yeah, definitely. That would be the first step, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I've got when we were on the phone last time, when we did the show last time, did I share the story about my friend Amy Wells, who the bridal salon owner?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll have to do that next because Amy is a great story about someone who does what she calls walks in her value and understands value, understands how to communicate it, and has just gone from being a successful business owner to being a mega successful business owner, and how anyone else can follow her, you know, her wisdom and do the same thing. So
that's amazing. Well, before you go into that next point, Bob, I'm going to go ahead for those that may just be tuning in right now, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita, Sister Big Bones Warren. And tonight we're joined by the dynamic speaker and author, Mr. Bob Berg. And he's here for part two of his conversation, The Go-Giver. So he's sharing with us some great nuggets and some tools and just a great message so far just on value. Like I said, I'm picking up some things that seem simple, but there's some things that we don't necessarily think about, and you talked about developing that habit. So I'm taking notes for those of you that are listening or just tuning in. I definitely encourage you to grab a pen and a piece of paper because you'll definitely want to take some notes. But I'll go ahead and pass it back over to you, Bob.
Okay, so let's talk next about empathy, because empathy, remember, we've got, you know, excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And by the way, you know, sometimes paying attention is nothing more than just really listening. Just really listening to that other person, not only listening for what they say, but listening for what they don't say. Because a lot of times people have challenges with something, but they don't even know exactly what it is because they don't know the product or service or the protocol or what have you well enough. So sometimes we've got to listen and just kind of know something's bothering them, even if they don't know what it is themselves. And that's where empathy comes in. Empathy can be defined as the identification with or the vicarious experiencing of the thoughts, attitudes, and feelings of another person. Now, this kind of sounds like a fancy way of saying put yourself in the other person's shoes. And it would be, except remember, most of us have different sized feet. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, we all have different experiences, you know, different life experiences. We all have different belief systems and ways that we see the world based on a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies, where we take in all these messages from the time you were born, and we really don't qualify these. You know, we're too young, by and large. We take in all this information, all these experiences. We come from our own belief systems. And Don Miguel Ruiz, in his great book, The Four Agreements, talks about this in a terrific way. And so that's why we assume things, as he says, you know, one of the agreements, don't assume, you know, make no assumptions, because we don't know what someone else is thinking. But we think we do, because we think the way we see the world is the way other people see the world. No, we have different sized feet, so we can't necessarily put ourselves in the other person's shoes.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. You know, empathy, you know, it's great when you really can relate to that person, when you really can understand how they feel, and sometimes you can, but sometimes you can't. You know, sometimes not only do you not know exactly how they feel, sometimes you have absolutely no idea how they feel. Fortunately, in order to communicate empathy, you don't have to understand exactly what they feel. You just need to understand that they feel something, and that something is distressful to them or uncomfortable for them. And you communicate that you understand that and that you're on their side, that you're there to help them work through it. When someone with empathy communicates that empathy, the other person feels heard, and they feel understood, and they feel good about you. And that's a huge part, actually. It's a huge part of the selling process. It's a huge part of the human process.
Wow. I'm trying to keep up, keep track, stay focused, and take notes and post in the room. I know I missed a couple. I had excellence and consistency, and I know there was maybe two more before empathy.
No, there was actually excellence, consistency, attention.
Attention.
Yeah, empathy. And then we have the last one, and that's appreciation. And that is, you know, ways to show appreciation both for your prospects and your clients, and with very little financial cost. And it's so easy to come up with, you know, if you're willing to step up and really look for ways you can provide that you can communicate appreciation, saying thank you to people, both verbally and with a handwritten note. You know, I mean, sure, you can send an email, you can tweet them, or you can Facebook, but sending a personalized handwritten note, what a great way to really say to somebody that you care, that you took the time to send this handwritten note and to put it in a number 10 envelope and to hand stamp it and to, you know, to hand address it. You know, there's all sorts of ways of communicating gratitude. It's just, you know, really left to the imagination. But, you know, those five, when you can communicate those, that's how you really communicate. You know, and of course, you can communicate the intrinsic value of a product or service by learning about that product or service and how it helps someone else. Some products and services are obviously more obvious to another as to how it benefits them. But when that's not the case, or when you're competing with, you know, other people who sell what you sell, you have got to be that extra value, and you communicate it through those five elements.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned, Amy, and you were going to tell us about Amy?
Yeah, well, Amy's a really great friend of mine who I actually met when I was doing a seminar on the Go Giver, Endless Referrals, the Go Giver Way, in San Antonio, Texas, where Amy lives. And I first heard, you know, Amy and I are good friends now, but I heard from her, I think, first 4 or 5 months after the seminar. And I was talking about this concept about providing value and not trying to lower prices, but instead increasing the value that you offer people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I first got an email from Amy. Her name is Amy Wells. She owns the Bridal Salon of San Antonio. And what she wrote and what I learned from her, and I'll kind of do a Reader's Digest version and sort of summarize it, but she heard that part of the talk and really kind of got inspired by it and thought of a way she could she could utilize this in her business. So she decided that from now on, and by the way, from what I learned, the bridal salon, bridal business, you know, they sell wedding gowns and wedding dresses and so forth. And from what I came to understand, and I did not realize this, it's very much of a discount business. In other words, usually a young bride and her mom will walk into the bridal shop, and the first thing that they want to know is, how much of a discount can I get? Now, that surprised me, because, you know, you think of a wedding being a very big, important, momentous occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that price would be the last thing, you know, that value. But here's the thing. It's that the industry itself has trained their customers to look for the discount. And remember, people treat us as we teach them to treat us. And so the industry has set it up to be a discount type of thing. And so Amy said, no, from now on, what they were going to do, and she told her team this, she gathered her team around for a meeting. She said, no, from now on, we're going to, and I love how Amy put this, we're going to walk in our value. We're not going to discount the prices. We're going to instead communicate the exceptional value we provide them. Now, I've got to tell you, her team members were not excited about this. This was way outside their comfort zone. It's not what they were used to. But Amy said, no, I believe in this. Let's do this. So a woman came in, a young bride with her mom, and Amy sent one of her team members to help. And her team member came back a few minutes later, almost in tears, very visibly upset. She said, Amy, the mother is really angry, and she wants to talk to you. Now, it turns out this mom was just very, you know, kind of a hard-charging, very, you know, knew what she wanted, and that's fine. But so Amy went over and asked how she could help, and the mom said, Amy, I'm not happy about this. I expected more from you than this. And Amy said to her, now you got to understand Amy, and again, I've gotten to know Amy quite well. She is about the sweetest, kindest, gentlest human being you've ever met. And Amy, and I can picture Amy doing this, she looked at her and said, you expect more from me than this, and more from me than this you're going to receive. I'm going to give you, Amy said, 19 years of my experience in this business. I'm going to give you, and Amy listed two or three bullet points of things that Amy over the years, you know, with the connections she's made and the different things her store is able to offer that others aren't because of the, she talked about that. Then Amy turned to the bride and began to primp the bride a little bit and then turned back to the mom and said, and mainly, I'm going to give you delivery of the perfect dress for the perfect day that your daughter has dreamed about her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next morning, Amy received a call from the bride-to-be who said, Amy, I'm so excited. My mama said that not only am I to buy the dress from you, but instead of the 50% down payment you asked for, the 50% deposit, I'm to pay you in full. I'm to write a check to you in full. So what happened was, by Amy walking in her value and communicating that value to the mom felt much better about the transaction. She felt much better because she knew that for this very, very important day for her daughter, she was dealing with someone who was providing great value. So a couple of weeks later, Amy gets a call. Amy receives a call from an excited young bride-to-be who says, Amy, I'm getting married. I want to come in and you know, get fit for a dress. And Amy said, well, sure, I'd be delighted to. May I ask who referred you? And she said, well, my tia, you know, my aunt, this is San Antonio, she says, my tia told me there's only one person I could buy my dress from, and that's you. And Amy said, oh, well, that's so kind. Tell me, who is your tia? And as you might expect, it turned out to be the mom of that bride from a couple weeks earlier. So now, not only because Amy was able to communicate her value so well, not only does she have a new customer and a new, you know, client, but now that woman has become Amy's personal walking ambassador.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Let's take this a step further. We might ask, well, okay, but if Amy's charging full price to everyone, if she's not discounting at all, isn't she ever losing some sales because of that? Well, absolutely she is. But she's making more sales to the people she wants to be serving. And understand this, these people are referring her to others, and when they do, they're telling these other people, don't even ask for a discount. You're not going to get it, but you're going to get exquisite service. You're going to get top-notch value. This is the only person you want to buy your daughter's dress from. So this is really, you know, and so, and Amy told me that, you know, after that, and she was tracking sales and tracking, she was, you know, began, her shop began netting an extra $10,000 per month profit.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Now, here's the funny thing. You know, Amy has said to me since that time that whenever they are able to effectively communicate their value, they, you know, the sale happens. Now, it doesn't happen every time because they're not always, we're not, you know, in sales, we're not always able to communicate our value. But every time they do, the sale happens. Amy then says, the one time since that time that she allowed herself to be talked into lowering her price for a bride-to-be she just felt sorry for, she didn't get the sale.
Wow.
Right. So
look at that.
Price isn't an issue. It's very rarely a price question. It's always a value question.
Right. And then you talk about pricing, and you talked about how she went ahead and she was probably willing to make the discount at that point, but the sale didn't even happen. And we know, you know, objections. We deal with objections. I've been in sales forever, it seems like, and objections are just the bane of practically every salesperson. You know, it's just like, oh, my goodness. But why is that? You know, what really is an objection? Why don't you explain that? And then, you know, can objections really be consistently overcome?
Well, that's a great question, and let's talk about that. First, what is an objection? On a very, very basic level, an objection is nothing more than the person seeing the value of the thing being at this level and the price being at this level, which is much higher. Okay, so nobody is going to willingly buy something when they feel the price is higher than the value. Now, price can also be cost, and there are many different types of cost. Cost can be in terms of the dollar amount or price. Cost can be in terms of aggravation. Cost can be in terms of fear, not really knowing what you're getting. Cost can be in terms of lost opportunity cost. In other words, if you buy this one, you cannot buy this other one. So there's many fears that come into play in this case. And so, you know, the key is that when the prospect feels that the value is higher than the price or cost, the sale is going to be made. So, on a very basic level, an objection, or when someone says no, that's just what it means, that they feel the price is at this level, but the value or the cost is lower than the price. So there's also a challenge in which a lot of times the person themselves, they don't really know the true objection. Now, how can I say that? How does that make sense? Because remember, they may not understand the buying process like you do, or they definitely don't, because, you know, you do this as a living. They don't. They don't understand everything they need to know about the product or the service or the use or the application or whatever you do. And so what happens is sometimes they don't even have enough knowledge to know exactly what it is that's bothering them about it. And so they might say something like, well, I'll think about it, or the price is too high, or what. Not because they're lying. I mean, you know, some people do lie, but that's not who I'm talking about. it's not that they're usually lying, but they don't really know. So one of the things we need to do is, again, pay attention. We need to listen, to really listen, and help them. Now, you ask a question, a good question, and that is, can you really overcome an objection? No, you cannot overcome an objection. Why? Well, you think about the word overcome. It you know, comes from the same family of the Latin convincere, or convince or overcome, means to conquer. Okay, when you overcome an objection, it means you're having to conquer that person. That's why Dale Carnegie, in his classic How to Win Friends and Influence People, said a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So no, you cannot overcome an objection. What you can do is you can work within the context of the objection to help this person have a better understanding of the situation, and they can then overcome their own objection.
Wow.
So would you like me to maybe walk you through an example and we can see how this works?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, let's say that someone is in real estate, okay, and they're talking with a potential buyer about a house they just showed her, which she seems to love. And all of a sudden, the buyer says, "You know, I don't know. I think maybe the house is too far from town." So the realtor says, "Well, actually, it's only 10 miles away. Not really far at all." "Well, we like to feel really close to where everything is." "Not a problem. It's a 25-minute ride on a bad day. Without traffic, you can make it in 15. "Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure." "But you love the home itself, right?" Now, that's not communication, right? That's arm wrestling. And once you start, it's over, because even if you win, you lose, because this person does not feel valued. This person can sense that you care more about the money or making the sale than you do about providing value. Remember that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means that the value must come first. The money is simply a direct and natural result of the value that you've provided. And you've got to be able to communicate that you genuinely care about providing value to them. Only then is that person going to have the confidence in you, the trust in you, to buy from you, if it's, you know, anything substantial. So let's try this again and see how the salesperson, if they're really going to work within the framework of the objection, how they might handle it. So now the buyer says, again, the same conversation, the buyer says, "I don't know, I think maybe the house is too far from town." Well, now the realtor says, "Might be. What are you thinking?" "Well, you know, we love the home, but we like to feel really close to where everything is." So now the realtor says, "Sounds like that's really important to you. So if I may ask, when you say where everything is, are there specific things you're thinking of?" Well, now the buyer says, "Well, yeah, you know, I guess with our little girl and maybe a couple more kids coming along over the next few years, we want to make sure we always have access to whatever we need, whether it's just something like shopping or going to the movies or, heaven forbid, if one of the kids hurts herself and we have to get to the hospital fast. You know, we both grew up right in the city, and we're used to being just minutes from everything. I guess to us, 10 miles seems like a lifetime away." Well, now the realtor says, "You know, that makes a lot of sense. So if I'm understanding this correctly, as much as you love the idea of living in this home, we need to balance that with your and Mark's comfort level as far as distance from town goes. Do I have that right?" "Yes, exactly. That's exactly it." Well, so now the realtor says, "Well, you know, I'm wondering, there are some development plans underway right now just a couple miles from here. I understand there'll be stores, a movie theater, even an emergency, you know, a small emergency walk-in center. Now, I don't know if what's coming is going to be enough to meet your family's needs, but would you be open to taking a look at it and seeing if we're even in the ballpark?" So, see, by listening instead of debating and trying to overcome and communicating that you were listening, just in what you did, you've advanced the sales process. Why? Because you've conveyed to your buyer that your goal was to create value for her and not just to make a sale. See, rather than denying her perspective and trying to convince her that her concerns weren't valid, which is what happened in the first example, you've honored her perspective. And that's, you know, that's really the ultimate value of genuine listening in the sales process or the human process. You honor the other person. You let them know that they're important and that you value them. And that's really, you know, the bedrock of a great relationship.
Definitely. Now, for those of you that are just tuning in to Mindshift Talk Radio, you're here with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren, and we're joined by Mr. Bob Berg, and he's discussing the Goal Giver. This is part two of the conversation that he started with us a few months ago, and so he's really going in and really diving deep into these laws about value, and I'm learning so much right now, Bob. Like, I really I'm typing really fast on my iPad right now because I'm used to typing on my laptop, but I'm like in my iPad because I'm like, I have to have this with me when I'm on the go. And this is just, it's awesome. It's amazing and it's practical and it's things that are simple enough that we can do. We can develop the habit. It's things that people can put into place immediately, yet the results are going to be just valuable and profound, you know, and I'm really excited about putting these things into practice myself, especially starting a new business now. I kind of want to be that guinea pig, I guess, for me to really put all of this into play and see what the results are going to be. I'm sure they're going to be great results, though.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, so, gosh, we're running out of time, and we still have more questions for you, but, you know, I do want to ask this, you know, we are talking about this law of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for us to just dig a little bit deeper into the law of influence. You know, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I often, when it comes to influence, when I speak to at a leadership convention on this or any kind of company convention, I'll often ask the audience, how far can you push a rope? And, of course, the answer is not very far, or at least not very fast or very effectively, which is why, you know, you don't hear people say, wow, that, you know, that Juanita or that Stacy, they are so influential. They have a lot of push with people. No, it's they have a lot of pull with people because that's what influence really is. On a very, very basic level, one could, you know, define influence as simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. On a bit deeper level, we could say that influence is an unseen flow of power. And both definitions work, but I don't believe either one really captures its essence. Influence is pull. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people to themselves and to their ideas. And again, they do this not through push, but through its opposite, which is pull. And, you know, this pull is really a very legitimate form of power, power being the very opposite of force. You know, force is manipulation, intimidation, compliance. Often it's a function of what's called positional authority, or in leadership teaching they call it positional influence. You know, the person has a title, sales manager or department head or employer. And let's face it, you know, even people with just positional authority can still compel people to do certain things. I mean, obviously an employee knows if they don't want to get fired, you know, they have to do what they're told. But again, that's compliance. And, the challenge with it is people don't really do their best when it's a matter of compliance. They do their best when they have commitment. I love what my friend Don DeScamacci says. Now I'll leave you with this thought. She says that, and I love Don. She speaks to leadership organizations, teams, the biggest companies in the world, all over the world. I love what Don says. She's also one of my great mentors. Don says compliance will never take you where commitment can go. And great influencers, they gain commitment by always placing the other person's interests first.
Yeah. And bear with me, my fingers don't type as fast as my thoughts. but I have to write that down. That quote, compliance will never take
Don DeScamacci, compliance will never take you where commitment can go.
I love it. I love it.
Dondi has a wonderful book called Career Moves. If you go to Dondi Scumaci, DondiScumaci.com. She's also at Dondi Scumaci on Twitter. She is just a wellspring of information and wisdom. She's just an amazing human being.
And what's the name of that book, if you could tell us again?
It's called Career Moves. She actually has three books, and it's, you know, she gears them toward women, but really it's for anybody because wisdom, you know, certainly applies across the board. But the book is Career Moves, and it's kind of told in terms of a parable while it's also a how-to book. It's just absolute. In fact, I was honored to do the foreword for that book.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was more that we wanted to ask. There were more questions, and we're coming up towards the end of the hour. So before we close out, I will ask you, Juanita, were there any final thoughts or questions you had for Bob before we have to let him go?
Not a question per se, but just maybe a revelation or epiphany, mm-hmm. and that's how relevant this is personally and professionally. Just in kind of thinking about, you know, through excellence and consistency and attention and empathy and appreciation and communicating your worth, how that applies to us in relationships, be it a workplace relationships or an intimate relationship,
mm-hmm.
how all of that is applicable and relevant. So I love
mm-hmm.
it. Well, thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And especially that compliance piece when we're living in a society in which, you know, a high divorce rate, you know, compliance versus commitment. I'm just with you because, you know, there's a paper versus I'm committed to our marriage and to our union. So love it. Love it.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh, look at that, Bob. We can take it to a whole nother level.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate that.
Maybe that's going to be for the Go Giver Part 3. We'll go more into personal relationships, huh?
Right.
Well, Bob, we are, you know, again, it's just always an honor and it's truly a privilege to have you here. And I am just amazed again. You did not surprised me at all. I knew that you were going to really bring it the second time for part 2. Of course, you have to do better on the second time than you do the first time, and you definitely did that. And I'm just excited about all of this information you shared. You're welcome. You know, for our listeners, if you could just let them know how they can get in touch with you, how they can go ahead and get a copy of the book, and if there's any upcoming events that they may want to be aware of, can you share that with the listeners?
Sure. My suggestion would be to go to burg.com, which is burg.com. And while there, near the top, there's a place to put your email address in there so that you can be on our list. And I send only very, very value-based information, plus there's some special reports that you're going to really, really enjoy. You can also, when you do that, you'll receive a download of Chapter 1 of The Go-Giver and Chapter 1 of Go-Giver's Sell More, so you can see if you would like to purchase that. Now, here's the other thing. Go to my blog, which there's a link to the blog, and sign up to be notified when there's blog posts. I'm going to tell you, tomorrow morning's blog is going to be one of my best ever. It's going to be so fun, and it's I think you're really going to enjoy it, and it features a very special message.
Awesome. So we all have to go ahead and sign up for the blog right now.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's going to be juicy.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be a lesson that everybody's going to enjoy, especially if you love animals.
Huh. Okay. Now you've piqued my curiosity. I'm like,
okay,
what is
the two-legged variety or the four-legged kind?
Right.
But okay.
Four-legged.
All right, animal.
Four-legged.
Gotcha.
So we just have to wait until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us again, Bob. And hopefully we'll be able to have you here again in the future because you're not a stranger anymore. So
no,
you're
kidding? Absolutely. I would love it. I love the two of you. And I just love the value that y'all provide so many people.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
You do the same. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so you heard Mr. Bob Burg, co-author of The Go-Giver. I tell you, he shared a wealth of information. Just the first piece alone was enough to take you through the next 90 days, I'm sure, in terms of developing that habit. We talked about the 5 ways to communicate values. So we encourage you to go back, listen to this show again. There was so much information that was shared, and I know all of you guys did grab the pen and the piece of paper like I asked that you did earlier in the show. Some of you guys are just a little bit hard-headed like us, so I understand. But the great news is you're able to go back and check out this replay. You can share it with friends and family. But I know personally I am going to be listening to this again, and definitely encourage you to go to berg.com, sign up for that subscription and sign up for that blog and find out what Bob is going to be sharing tomorrow. I'm really curious to see what's going to be going on with the animals and so forth. So definitely going to sign up for the blog. Sister Big Balls, it was great as always being here with you tonight.
My pleasure.
All right. And we encourage you guys to make sure you're here with us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for Mindshift Talk Radio, and join us online at mindshifttalkradio.com. Check out replays, learn more about upcoming shows and about our guests. As always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, amazing, and blessed mind-shifting week, and we hope to see you guys in the chat room soon. You guys be blessed. Talk to you soon. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.